The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Oh yeah, broadcasting from the Knapsack Files Studios in Burbank, California, this is Hot Sizzler Nights. Here on the Knapsack Files podcast feed, I'm Kat Knapsack for another sultry edition of the show that you all love. And we've got a guest coming up that you all have been waiting, highly anticipating to be here on Hot Sizzler Nights. But today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. I want to let you know. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/thenapsackfiles. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And if you sign up, that directly helps the podcast feed here. But without further ado, we've been trying to make this happen. Schedule's finally aligned. Joining me on the third edition of Hot Sizzler Nights is Josh Tapia, a.k.a. JTE. What's up, Josh?
Oh, man. This is going to be a sizzling podcast.
Absolutely will. And here's the thing. It's anticipated, number one, because you're just a great personality.
Thank you.
Killing it at Screen Junkies. Well, sometimes when I'm there,
that's
Screen
when you're
Junkies.
There, yeah.
Screen Junkies. Schmoes, the movie trivia schmodown. Mm-hmm. We're part of the Lion's Den. People love to hate you, but I think they secretly love to love you. But also, you and I have, over the years, whether it be on air or on podcasts, we share a same kind of view of food, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I think one of the most excited I ever was on the Schmodown show, rest in peace, was the day we were told we're going to get to sample cheeseburgers from like all the local fast food places. I was like, I was like Clubber Lang. I was like, this is going to be amazing. And I knew immediately I only had one person in that room that's going to be real competition. And it's Ken Knapsack.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like Holyfield Tyson.
Yeah.
It was so exciting to me because you and I both have a love for bad food. Food that's bad for us.
I guess it's somewhere in the middle. And that's one of my favorite memories. Because it was Roca competing. You mean, who was that? Was someone else on there?
There was one more person.
Was it Makuga or Ellis?
I can't remember.
Maybe it was just us three. We're going to die of heart attacks.
I'm pretty sure there were four, but I can't remember the fourth. Like I said, I had tunnel vision.
Yeah.
It was you versus me.
You versus me. And we were given like five fast food hamburgers.
Yeah.
And I think I won with like 1.5 right. But I was disappointed in my performance, and I know you were too.
I was disappointed. There's a couple I thought I had dead right. I still contest. I think you might have mentioned this. You were feeling for the bun or the square.
Yes.
Which I didn't do that. I just went on the bite. And here's another thing. I had a handicap.
Yeah.
I'm a plain guy.
Yeah.
When I go to Burger King, Wendy's, Jack in the Box.
Yes.
I want meat, bun, cheese. These all had onions, mustard, pickles. So I was out of my element. I was like, these all taste foreign to me.
Yeah.
Some of them I was still able to get the meat out of all that crap. But I'm just a meat and cheese and bun guy. And to me, that's all you need on a really good.
Yeah. And so that would be a disadvantage because like identifying a jumbo jack has a lot to do with the sauces and the onions and all that kind of stuff there. So you and I, point to all that other than a good walk down memory lane is you and I, we don't mind popping into 7-Eleven for a hot dog.
No, yeah, I was with you on that one, and I can't find any 7-Elevens that have it anymore.
Yeah.
But there was the cheeseburger hot dog.
Yeah.
Which I, at one point, you know, had to live off of because I was poor. And I didn't hate it.
There, but for the grace of God, go I.
It looked horrible. It was literally a bunch of hamburger made into like a hot dog form and cheese wrapped inside of it.
People are gagging right now and listening, but I know what you're talking about.
They weren't bad.
A good gas station sandwich is all I need in life.
I've bought a few chicken salad sandwiches from like 7-Eleven and Walgreens.
I've kind of, for health reasons, and I get it, but I've cut a little bit of that kind of lifestyle down a bit, right? But the other day I was rushing, and I stopped by 7-Eleven and picked up a chicken salad sandwich, and it was a walk down memory lane.
Yeah, see, last year I moved to Burbank, and I have a 7-Eleven within a block of me.
Yeah.
In my first 2-3 months, I was walking. Anytime I felt like I just needed a snack, I would walk and buy a hot dog or a taquito or a cheeseburger. When they introduced a cheeseburger, I even tried that. I will say, living next to one has after a year, has definitely reduced my visits.
I understand that.
It was something like I could go out of my way to get because I wouldn't go to it that much.
Yeah.
But when you live next to one, you just kind of wear it out.
Well, you know, the same thing happened to me with Chipotle. Because in the early 2000s in San Fernando Valley, there was like one Chipotle. And it was near Topanga Canyon and Ventura Boulevard. And it was like, hey, have you tried this place? Oh, it was one of those things. So at work, we'd be like, hey, Bruce is making a run to that Chipotle place. And so it became, we all loved it. And then I ended up moving jobs, locations, same company. And I worked for the Farmers Market at the Farmers Market in Hollywood, 3rd and Fairfax. Yep. My second year there, they're like, hey, we're getting a Chipotle. I was like, my dreams have come true. Then it was there every day. I went to it 3 times in 2 years.
Yeah. I'm one of these people who find something he likes and I run it into the ground until I find the next thing I want to go into. Like if I find a restaurant, like I'm like, ooh, I like this dish.
Yeah.
I will just go there like a couple days a week. Or I remember when I first moved on Victory in Burbank.
Yeah.
I was near Outback.
Yeah.
Almost every other day I would get off work, call them ahead of time, be like, I want chicken tenders and fries. I'd pick it up, go home and eat it. To the point where they knew me. The girl at Outback is like the usual. I'm calling. I'm not even face to face. I think they recognize my number.
It's comforting.
Yeah. And I don't know why, but like, if I start making chicken at home, I make chicken at home for the next like couple months until I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
I move on to the next food.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not a big guy on variety.
I'm like, I did that too. I got a lemon Luna bars were my breakfast on the go of snack of choice that went in there. I don't know. Like I used to go to Chili's to the point where like every Monday at 5, my friends, Matt and Rod, we'd go to Chili's to the bar and the waitress, Stephanie, would we walk in, our Dr. Peppers were already sitting there.
Oh, wow.
And the table was reserved for
That's
us.
That's amazing.
And then eventually you're like, I don't know if I want to go here anymore.
Yeah, for a good like 4 or 5 months, I would go to Trader Joe's on the weekend and I would buy 5 chicken Caesar salads.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bring one to work every day and eat it. And that was just for like months. But then for some reason, Trader Joe's changed.
They do
the
that.
The recipe.
Yep.
And they know I didn't. The chicken quality went down, the sauce went down, and I stopped it. And I haven't had one since.
Starbucks did that with their parfaits. They were selling parfaits for a while, and suddenly the brand changed or something.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go for it anymore.
It's one thing if you take it off the menu, but when you just like change it and it's not as good.
I'd rather walk in like, we don't have parfaits anymore, other than here's an imposter.
Exactly.
So speaking of running things into the ground, I love treating people to Sizzler. Now,
this is
what we've been waiting to do. You volunteered as tribute early on.
Yeah, I mean, food and talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm all down.
So finally, schedule cleared, and you, me, and your wonderful girlfriend, April Dawn, who had to rush out for a plane flight. Otherwise, she was going to be on this episode as well. Mm-hmm. So, April, I owe you a podcast episode down the line here. We got the chance to dine at Sizzler.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of thoughts percolating, much like your stomach after eating there.
I love that you said dine.
Yeah.
Because take away the N. And that's pretty close to how I felt
What's
about
going
this
on?
Meal.
Now, look, Sizzler is not a paid sponsor. I'd love to be sponsored, but I have to be honest. Journalistic integrity here. I had some issues with the food tonight, and you hadn't been to a Sizzler in 5 years, and you were, oh, this is why.
And this is the same Sizzler I went to 5 years ago.
Yes, okay.
It's in the Burbank area.
Yep.
And I think it's one of those things, because I'll give Sizzler some credit. They have good commercials.
They do have good commercials.
I see their commercials. I'm like, damn, that looks good. That thing's sizzling off the plate.
It's sizzling and sizzling.
And I think 5 years ago I went there.
Yeah.
I remember it not being good.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, you know what, man? It's been 5 years. I'm always willing to give a place another chance.
Well, it's homey. It's got a nice warm atmosphere.
So we go in there. We get the salad buffet, whatever it's called.
That's the deal. The ultimate salad bar.
Yeah, the ultimate salad bar.
Now, I know you're not a salad guy.
Like I said, I only like chicken Caesar, but I'm very picky about it. It has to be really good.
Did you even take a look at the salad options there?
I might have passed out my way to an ice cream, but I didn't. I was more concerned. I mean, if you can't even... The mac and cheese was like watery. There's just things. I wasn't impressed. First look. I was like, we're in trouble.
It's like you're buzzing for a landing spot.
Yeah.
And you're like, we're not landing the plane here.
It's like there's 10 things on here. 8 of them will probably give me food poisoning. So I'm trying to figure out which 2 would be the most safe.
Like, look, and I'll say this. I've never received food poisoning from that location.
True.
I just want to say, in case anyone's listening and they're upset. No. And I'll tell you, I love the mac and cheese there. Tonight,
really?
Not the best.
Love.
Tonight, not the best.
Love.
All right, like.
Okay.
Now
I
know
good mac and cheese.
You and I are mac and cheese connoisseurs.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would try it, but It didn't look...
There's a certain consistency that I need my mac and cheese to at least look before I can even think about eating it. Like, I want it... Some people... Nothing is worse to me when I get, like, fettuccine Alfredo or mac and cheese where the cheese looks like it's just colored water. I need a thickness. It needs to be, like... If I take a spoonful, like, I want mac and cheese to be stuck together. I want my fettuccine Alfredo to be stuck together, and you have to, like... The only thing holding it together is the sauce, which is acts like a glue.
Yes.
When the noodles
You're not
are,
wrong. You're not no, wrong.
When the noodles are swimming around or just floating... Yeah. That is, to me, automatic. I'm not going near that.
Yeah. Tonight was a little swampy mac and cheese water. I the taste was still okay for me, but I will say you're not wrong about how it looked tonight. But how on the subject of mac and cheese, like you and I share, that's another thing we share. Like we really love our mac and cheese, and we have a very, very distinct and distinguished palate for
it. True. I agree. There's different styles of mac and cheese I like.
Yeah.
Growing up back in Connecticut, there's this place called Supernatural. It's not a franchise.
I'm on board.
This is literally only a place that is in a small town where I live.
Right.
And they have the best homemade mac and cheese with like white cheddar. And this is the kind of mac and cheese that they give it to you in like a pint kind of cup.
Yeah.
And then when you go to pour it on your plate, it comes out in the shape of the cup because it's so condensed and like this cheese.
Yes, that's good cheese.
Yeah. The cheese is stuck together. So to me, like it's just so good. And, but again, it's different than the most mac and cheese I get.
Yeah. And that's a high standard though. If you find that one kind of style or one kind of place and you say this isn't a chain, so you can't get it elsewhere.
Again, it comes down to me. The consistency of the cheese is huge. Yeah. Breadcrumbs on there. A little bit of that.
That's where I was going with it. Do you like busy mac and cheese? Like you like it just straight ahead or you like bacon bits, chives or some kind of green onions?
I don't need all that. I just need a really good cheese, some good noodles, and I need to be cooked to a certain... I think I liked my mac and cheese a little more overcooked than undercooked. Like I definitely
a burnt.
A little burnt on the edges, crusty on top. So like when you scoop in, the top is nice and crunchy and has that little bit that burnt flavor, but then the bottom is all choosy and oozy, man.
Choosy and oozy or cheesy and oozy? All of the above. Yeah, I'm with you too. Like if it's on the edges and I'll mix it around. So the bite is both.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. I don't want to be too busy with my mac and cheese, but like something like if I go to Yard House and like the mac and cheese square.
Yard House has good mac and
with
cheese.
With the chicken and the bacon and all the heart problems kind of rolled into one, that I can be down with.
Speaking of that, Wood Ranch right down the street has great mac and cheese.
Lauren's mac and cheese.
And it's consistent. It's thick. It sticks together. I live right at walking distance. So
that's
a
dangerous.
Lot of times I'll just go buy like a half a pint and two rolls and I'm happy.
Mark Ellis gave me, and one of the best, this man is such a sweetheart. He gave me one day a Wood Ranch gift card to commemorate the good times.
Great.
And I was emotional because I knew I had Lauren's mac and cheese at my beck and call at that point.
You know what's crazy is Wood Ranch has some great meats, steaks, you know, ribs.
Yep.
And every time I go there,
it's a barbecue place,
I usually just end up getting mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. It's incredible.
Because it's like it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And I'm completely satisfied.
When did you know you loved mac and cheese? What point in your life were you like, this is my meal of choice?
Pretty early on. I remember being a kid.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I had a babysitter, and my babysitter would always make me Kraft mac and cheese.
Kraft mac and cheese. Easy.
And I remember, like, God bless my mom, but her mac and cheese never quite was as good as the way my babysitter made it.
Right.
And I also had an aunt in Vermont who, for some reason...
children's book.
Aunt in Vermont mac and cheese. She made it so good. And it's like, it used to frustrate my mom because it's not like, I don't know what they were doing extra. Maybe they're putting a little more butter than usual. But every time my mom made it, it would be very watery.
See, that's that thing.
And again, it comes down to
it's triggering.
It is triggering.
It's triggering for you.
And like... I think my mom would get jealous sometimes, like, why does he like...
Family drama over
mac
and
cheese. Why
does
she like her mac and cheese so much better?
I'm with you. It was a kid thing. It was one of the things where when mac and cheese was on the menu at home, and usually it was just Kraft mac and cheese, you know, that's a good starting point. I would get excited.
Okay.
It was like, oh, tonight we got that.
Uh-huh.
And I would, all through the meal, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
It brought me joy. Did you ever have you ever gone for mac and cheese with little chopped up hot dogs in it?
No, that's abomination. That sounds horrible.
No.
Why?
It's a thing.
I don't want meat in my mac and cheese. But I think that's pretty, because then...
But even like chicken or bacon from Yard House, you're okay every once in a while.
Just cheese. Cheese and noodle, man.
This is much like this is your burger thing, too. You just want the meat, cheese, and bread.
I want what... It's called mac and cheese.
It's not mac and cheese and hot dogs?
And give me the cheese.
Yeah.
If your mac and cheese is good, you don't need all that other shit.
There was one place I went to. It was like in a mall, and it was like a mac and cheese place. They had like, you know, four or five different style. Actually, it was more than that. And it was a grilled cheese place as well, too. So it's like, I love grilled cheese, right? And
of course.
So they had on the menu a grilled cheese sandwich with bacon and mac and cheese in the grilled cheese sandwich. Mm. So I'm sitting in line. Mm. This is also why I have health problems. I'm sitting in line. I'm like, oh, this seems like a match made in heaven for me. I love grilled cheese, love mac and cheese. Well, when you put them together, it is too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing.
By the time I got back to my car, I was sick.
That sounds about right.
Like emotionally sick, too.
I will say this, and I've said this to you before. When I go to a restaurant that I've never been to before, and there's mac and cheese on the menu, it's a huge risk.
It is.
Because I don't feel there is ever just an okay mac and cheese. Mm. I feel like when I order mac and cheese, I'm either going to love it or I'm going to hate it.
Right.
It's very, very, very rare that there's something in the middle where I'm like, this is okay. It's usually I take a few bites and I'm like, this is great. Or I take a few bites and I can't even finish it.
I feel you on that. I'm there with you. So going back to the Sizzler. Oh, yeah. No.
I was
going to
say same thing with Fettuccine Alfredo. I either love it or hate it.
Fettuccine Alfredo?
Is it Fettuccine Alfredo?
I don't know what it is at this point.
Fettuccine Alfredo.
But I'm going to add it to your list of things you the JT spin on things. Yep. Fettuccine Alfredo. Fettuccine Alfredo?
Fettuccine Alfredo. Yeah, okay. There you go.
It might be it. But I thought maybe there was some kinetic thing called Fettuccine Alfredo, and I was like, I'm just going to roll with it. I wasn't going to question you. I don't want to embarrass you.
I'm not Italian.
Ecuadorian's finest film reviewer. Mm-hmm. Back to the Sizzler thing. All right. So I know the mac and cheese was swinging and missed, but you did... you and April partook along with me with that cheese toast, and that's the main event for a lot of people.
Yeah, the cheese toast is good.
Yeah,
they bring it out to you, and I'm like, oh, this thing is golden. It's got a golden brown to it. It looks really crispy.
Yeah.
Then I realize only one side is toasted; the other side is just plain white.
Yeah, and I think that might be the secret.
I know. I think if they went the extra mile and actually toasted both sides, it would go up a whole nother point for me. But it was still very good.
It was passable. I noticed you had a second slice.
No, it was very good. I think the bread was the highlight. Not just the cheese bread, but I went and grabbed a roll and put some butter on it.
Yeah.
And that was really good,
And the roll was good, too.
Yeah.
Look, hey, I'm not a huge fan of Olive Garden, but those breadsticks and the salad, it draws you in. And you're going to go have some Fettuccine Alfredi and whatever you want to call it, just as long as you get the salad and breadsticks.
When I go to Olive Garden, the only two things I want is I love their Caesar salad and I love their breadsticks. I don't even have to get pasta.
You're on that Caesar salad train.
If it's good, I love it. If it's not, I don't.
Yeah, I'm with you too.
But yeah, when I go to Olive Garden, I don't go for pasta. I go for their Caesar salad and I go for their breadsticks.
I think that's perfectly fine. The breadsticks are great. So the bread was there. The chicken, you had some chicken. Let's talk about the chicken. You got these choices in front of you. You're playing the game. You're indulging me in this experience.
Let's not get crazy. There was an amazing choice variety. I wasn't like, oh my God, where do I start? It was like, where do I start?
Question mark?
Yeah.
It was an exclamation point. For people like me, it's exclamation point, but few big question marks.
If there was like some slice of steak or meatloaf, that would have brought the buffet up a little bit.
Sizzler, I will say this. You're playing the game with me on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But when you walked up, you were like, do we have to get the salad bar? Because there's some things I might want to try
on
here.
Meat.
And I said, no, that's not the rules.
Yep.
And I ruined your life.
But you said, at one point you're like, oh, everything's out there in the bar. So I was like, oh, maybe there'll be some sort of meat.
Oh yeah. You were like a buffet.
A little bit more of a hometown buffet style. So here's the thing about the chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed three of them
and
I took a bite of the first one and I took a bite of the second one. And I realized that the meat to, skin/fat ratio is about 10 to 15, maybe 20% meat.
Mm.
And the rest was just fried stuff. I remember just like taking bites out of, I was maybe into my second bite of the chicken wing. I was like, I still haven't got any meat. All I've got so far is friedy fat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of skin and fat. There's very little meat on those chicken wings, I feel like.
I mean, maybe I took a good bite out of one of them. I got one because I noticed I hadn't had them yet. My previous two Hot Sizzler nights with Lon Harris and Josh McCuga, I avoided the chicken.
Okay.
But I saw you did it. You had done it. And I was like, I'm going to take this ride with you. And I don't know if I'll take that ride again. I might stick with the tacos.
No. And here's another thing. I tried a taco. I went with the carnita.
Right.
A little bit of sour cream, a little bit of cheese.
Just kept it simple.
But the quality of the cheese, I was pretty disappointed in. It looked like the kind you get at the dollar store.
Probably.
There's not a dollar store nearby.
Yeah. So.
I feel like the cheese was not good quality. It wasn't even Mexican blend. It was just like... It was just some weird yellow cheese.
Yellow cheese.
It just wasn't good. I took one bite.
A craft slice cut up. Yep.
The carnita meat wasn't horrible. Like, I just took one bite.
So there's your meat fix.
Yeah. I took a bite and I said to myself, I could eat this.
Yeah.
But I don't trust it. You don't. I literally kind of felt like, what can I, just don't want to get sick tonight. What? Like, I'll try a little bit of everything, but I'm not going to go all in on anything.
I almost feel bad, except for you knew the game when you played it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish there was a little bit more for you there.
The roll was really good.
The roll was good. The bread was good.
I had to tell the waitress to bring us some butter.
Yeah.
So I cut the roll in half.
She didn't seem happy with that at first. There was a little bit of tension in the middle of the meal.
Here's what's weird. Yeah. It's a buffet, yet there's waiters.
Well, it's not a buffet. It's an all-you-can-eat salad bar. And then other people will order the meals, so that becomes a more normal waiter-customer behavior.
Whereas they're relationship. Just like taking our plates away once in a while.
Yeah.
Get us refills.
I accidentally slapped her hand, and I feel bad about that.
Yeah, she was going for your plate.
She was going for my plate, and I had two meatballs left.
Did you accidentally slap her?
I was checking my phone.
Ah, okay.
And I reached down with my hand, and so we made contact, and she, as you saw, recoiled and went. And I feel bad. I think she thought I slapped her hand away from my meatballs, which is a statement I'm going to say out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, I witnessed it out of the corner of my eye, and it did look like you slapped her hand away.
Right.
And I was
I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I tried to stay away from my meatballs.
I was like, dude, this ain't that good of food. What the hell is going on here?
But there was some tension before that. There was some like tension mid-meal with her. I couldn't figure it out. It was like, I don't know. It was a little weird. I was wondering when I was up, maybe you said something.
No, maybe she just saw my utter...
Confusion?
Disgust.
Do you generally like buffets?
No, I feel like it's very rare that I've been to a good buffet. Hmm. Even hometown. I think I went to hometown a couple years ago for the first time in the years. And I said, oh my God, this is bad.
Yeah.
I would love to go to like a really good buffet. I bet there's some in Vegas.
Yeah, but that's a good spot.
I would love to go to a buffet where I love everything out there.
Yeah.
And I just can't get enough. The closest thing I get to that is Fogo de Chao.
You love that.
Yeah, Beverly Hills.
You've done that.
I've been that one a couple times.
Didn't you once have like a gift certificate or something to that?
Well, I took April there for Valentine's Day.
Right.
And because I went on Valentine's Day,
such a gentleman.
They gave me a free meal. Like,
really?
Basically a gift card saying for one free dinner.
Thank you. So, come on back.
Yeah, so I just was like, all right, cool. I can go back. So it was a nice little, here you go. Come back again.
Yeah.
Because I
remember you had that. And I was still working at Screen Junkies, and you would be like, is this the day I'm going to go back?
Yeah.
Is this the day I'm going to go back?
Well, it's a 24-hour process because you don't want to eat for like 24 hours before you go. Because I don't want to go there even like a little bit full.
No.
There's a card. Mm. It's a red and green.
Yeah.
If it's red, they'll stop coming to your table. If it's green, men just constantly walk up to you with like different
foods.
Assortments of meats. And it's amazing. Every single one is like jaw-dropping amazing.
I was at a Russian wedding that was like that once here.
Oh, that sounds great.
Like the food just, it was like midnight. We're all drunk, ready to stumble home. And they're like, a new plate of chicken. So but you have a game plan for things like that, for meals like that.
For Fogo de Chao, one, it's $50 a plate. I'm going to get my damn money's worth. You're
going to get your meat sweats on.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, a childhood friend, come visit me like a couple of years ago. And I took him to Fogo de Chao. You've never been there before. And it was like, you got to plan out the day for it. Because afterwards, you can't do anything.
Did you, you finally did it, right? During Screen Junkies one day, you went there?
I think I just went for lunch one day, yeah.
And did you come back? I kind of remember.
I don't remember. I may have, and I might have just been a mess.
Because I remember, I mean, literally, folks listening, JT would be literally like, I have that meal. Is this the day I'm going to do it?
Yeah.
And sometimes our schedule at Screen Junkies would not allow us to even have a lunch. Sometimes they'd have to order in for us because we were working, and that's a great treat. And I remember Cody Decker was
one of my biggest regrets. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys not end up going?
No, he offered to like pay for me and go.
Right. Cause you had mentioned something and he had just finished taping a show and he was like, you want to go?
Yeah, and part of me was like, I physically wasn't ready.
You weren't prepared.
I said to myself, I think I had already had lunch that day.
Yeah.
I think I had
You're out.
I had already eaten earlier that day, and I knew if I went with him,
yeah,
I would not be able to function for the rest of the day. Like, if I went with him to Fogo de Chao, I would not have made it back to the studio.
Yeah.
I would not, like, wrong. I have to go home and just sweat on my couch while I'm watching
it. I think he did end up going. I think he went by himself and was like, screw it, I'm going to go. I got nothing to do. I think Jen and now his wife was out of town. Yeah. And he was like, he said something, but he's like, screw it, I'm going to go.
Looking back, I wish I went only because I love Cody Decker as a human being.
Cody's a great dude.
He's a great dude. I wish I just went for the conversation.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, it's expensive.
Yeah.
At that point, I knew Cody, but it was like, I felt.
You don't want to take his baseball money.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I don't want this guy to pay $50 for me to get a plate.
Yeah. I'm just JTE, the engineer, pressing buttons.
I'm not the type of person who likes to get gifts or handouts very much.
Yeah.
Like, I've always had trouble, like, asking people to borrow money. So, like, I just didn't feel 100% comfortable letting him spend that much money on me.
Right.
And also, again, I just did not want.
You weren't ready.
I wasn't ready. Like, I need 24-hour notice. If I'm going there, I need to know 24 hours beforehand.
Yeah, Makuga and I want to do a buffet thing. We want to go get some proper buffets under our belt, but we know we're not prepared yet mentally. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I could see that there. So, yeah, so, but you ended up having dessert tonight, right? Was the ice cream all right?
Ice cream wasn't very good either. I made
this is actually breaking my heart.
I'm sorry. I made a little sundae.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I do the swirl.
The swirl's good.
Okay. And I'm like, all right, there's chocolate syrup here. There's nothing. I don't think there's any actual chocolate in the chocolate syrup.
It was just like
it's just a black dyed flavored of chocolate.
Yeah.
There's no, cause again, I like,
but there's like some strawberry sauce, some fruit.
Touch that.
I know, but you seem like you might be a plain kind of guy
here. Much like my mac and cheese. When I put hot, you know, chocolate fudge on my thing, I want it to be a thick, like I want to see some consistency there.
It's amazing how talking about food can be taken out of context. So wrong. When I put hot fudge on my thing,
I just like when there are holes in the spoon, and I put it into the syrup, there would have been no syrup left by the time I got to the sundae. Whereas if like a real hot fudge, you got a whole scoop. That thing, you have to shake the spoon a few times just to get it off.
Yeah,
to me,
yeah.
That's the ice cream. Then the ice cream just kind of didn't have flavor. It felt like frozen colored water that just kind of evaporated in your mouth.
Wow. You might be scaring off future guests from Hot Sizzler Nights.
Listen, this is just my taste.
We got to be honest, journalistic integrity indeed. Mm-hmm. So
I said at one point, I was like, this is like cafeteria food. But then I said, you know what? I think cafeteria food's probably, this maybe was cafeteria food when I was like a kid.
Kid, yeah.
I think nowadays they've upgraded.
They've upgraded a little bit.
There's too much health stuff out there now. Parents are too conscious of what's going on. I was like, I guarantee you cafeteria food's better than this.
Yeah. Do you remember back in school, back in our era, man? Like soda machine.
There was some decent food.
A soda machine in the quad, and then Pizza Hut had a deal with the school district in my school. Mm-hmm. They would sell Pizza Hut on campus for a while at a little carts. What a genius marketing thing.
Yeah.
Get the youth of America hooked on Pizza Hut.
Early.
And the greasy crust and all that stuff. I don't think back then in my day, we didn't have the double crust, double stuffed crust yet. But you're getting a Coke at a Pizza Hut, and you're getting your heart clogged and diabetes started early.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed.
I look back at my high school days, and I think there was some decent food, man. My school once in a while would have a steak and cheese sandwich. That was borderline delicious.
What kind of upper crust Connecticut schools did you go to?
It was Bristol Central High. Like, they would have steak and cheese, and they would have French fries. Their burgers weren't that great. I remember them having really good chicken nuggets. Every time there was a chicken nugget day, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty picky eater for the most part, but
you seem like that. Yeah. I mean, you and I have a simple, direct taste. I respect it. That's why you're here on the show. But with the hamburgers, the mac and cheese, even the sundaes, what drives you to the simple, direct, toppingless style of life?
I don't know.
You're not alone. There's people like you out there. I respect the decision.
Dan Merle, a friend of ours, he's a pretty plain Jane guy. Like, his sandwich is,
we'd walk down to that deli restaurant every day.
Same way. If I order a turkey sandwich, I want bread, turkey, cheese, and some mayo, and that's it.
And there's an example, because we would go down. It was a wine store, yep. Alcohol. They sold, you know, wine and beer and mm-hmm. whiskey and all that crap. And in the back was a deli. And so we would. And if Dan turned the corner, the lady or the guy working would be like, plain turkey and cheese coming up.
Yeah, and Dan's that way, and I'm the same way. I don't know why. I guess for me, this, I don't know. It's for about texture. I don't like biting into a burger and then getting a wet, soggy pickle or a lettuce that might be old.
Sure.
Like, to me, I'm just a meat and potatoes kind of guy, man. I don't need all the extra stuff. It just gets in the way of the meat flavor. The meat flavor is the most important thing to me when I have a sandwich.
Right.
By putting mustard, lettuce, pickles, tomato, you're just getting away of the meat.
You're mucking up the main event. I understand.
Exactly.
Look, a lot of times I you know, if I'm going to a Dodger game, mm-hmm. I'll grab a Dodger dog. I love Dodger dogs.
I like a good hot dog.
If the line is long and or I'm in the middle of an inning, I just grab it and plain. Take it back. Hot dog and the bun's all I need.
When I do hot dogs,
that's what she said.
I never put any stuff on it except for ketchup.
Right.
Bun, hot dog, ketchup. That's it.
Right. But if I have the time, I'll go all out.
Yeah, I don't.
But yeah, and I know a lot of people like you, and it's an interesting study to me. It's just it's not that you don't want to try new wonderful tastes mm-hmm. and flavors, but yeah, you don't want to distract from the meal you're about to have.
Yeah, I used to, it's not like I haven't tried those things. Like, I've been places where I couldn't get a plain.
Right.
And I'm just like, I can eat it. It's not like I'm like spitting it out like, I can eat it. I just prefer it not to be on there.
And I want to give you all the credit. You powered through your meal tonight, mostly because you needed to.
Yeah.
You need food, but
also, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, as I was eating, I just kept saying to myself, like, this is, I paid some money for this, so I got to eat some of it. Like, I'm not going to go, I don't want to stop somewhere to eat on my way home.
I mean, I appreciate it because it's given me programming, but
yes.
I feel as though I've let you down.
I mean, listen, I can't recommend Sizzler.
You can't. I can. I will recommend
it. Recommend it.
Yeah.
I believe Lon was pretty negative against it.
Lon had an interesting experience with it.
He didn't seem to love it.
Josh was okay. It took him back to his Ponderosa days in Pittsburgh.
I used to go to Ponderosa.
Yeah, you used to go to Ponderosa?
Yeah, I remember Ponderosa.
So tell me about Ponderosa, because that was, I had heard about it. I was familiar with it, but I've obviously never been. I'm a West Coast kid.
When I was younger, my parents used to go, and for some reason, they would have fried clams.
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't do that.
And that's all I would ever get.
Really?
And I don't even eat fried clams anymore. It was something I just ate as a kid. I wouldn't even get the buffet. I just remember getting ice cream every time I went there because they had ice cream. But I'd always get fried clams, and I don't really remember hitting the buffet that much.
Did you ever have a Farrell's out there on the East Coast, the ice cream shop?
No, I hadn't heard of it.
Farrell's was like a big, and they tried bringing it back a couple years ago. I think there was one up in Santa Clarita.
Was it a buffet place?
No, it was strictly like an ice cream restaurant.
Oh, we have that in the East Coast, but it's called Friendly's.
Friendlies.
Have you heard of Friendlies?
No, wow. Maybe I have, but yeah, I think that's similar. Friendlies, okay. Yeah, and it's like an old-timey ice cream shop, and you go there, and yeah, kids, you have your birthday at Farrell's.
Friendlies was the shit growing up where I was. Like, Bristol, Connecticut had a Friendlies, and there's you walk up to it, and there's a front part where you can just walk in and order ice cream, and there's a dining area.
Yeah.
No matter what you ordered, it came with a sundae. So, like, I would get a cheeseburger with fries.
Yeah.
And you would pay, and included in the price would be a sundae of your choosing, a one-scoop sundae.
Wow.
And I loved it. Friendly's, you could go to the grocery store and buy Friendly's ice cream.
Is it still?
It's really big on the East Coast.
Okay.
It's
in, I forget you were in Bristol, so.
Yeah.
I can imagine like Chris Berman of ESPN going, hey, anyone want to go to Friendly's for lunch? Leather, you're with me. Let's go.
Listen, I grew up I live 2 miles from ESPN.
Right.
There was a Friendly's directly about 2 blocks from ESPN.
Oh, you know Berman.
So, guarantee.
Berman, Bob Lee.
Yep.
Linda Cohn.
I guarantee, because there's two Friendly's in Bristol. One on the main street in Farmington Avenue, where all the stores were. And then there was one all the way right down the street from ESPN.
I could see that.
I guarantee.
Charlie Steiner taking his belt off. Berman, I can't do another one.
Yeah.
I can't do another Sunday.
I used to work in a movie theater in Bristol, right outside of Bristol in Plainville. It was a Lowe's. I think now it's AMC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we would get the ESPN guys. Stuart Scott would come in once a week.
Really?
Yeah. And
the late Stuart Scott. Rest in peace.
Rest
great
in
man.
Peace, man. Every time he came in, every time he would be on his cell phone and having a conversation, and he would come up, buy his ticket. Like, he would take a second and be like, 1-4, liar, liar, or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then he would go right back on his phone. I think he did it so no one would be like...
Oh, yeah, he was faking?
Yeah, I kind of think he was doing it just so people weren't, like, bother him.
It's like when I do that for solicitors outside of grocery stores yes. and stuff. Like, yeah, I'm on the phone, yeah, sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just, like... Once in a while.
Yeah.
Every time. Every time. And he always would come in like during the week, mid-afternoon when it was like dead.
So really?
He wouldn't come like when it's packed.
Yeah, before it's like, hey, come day off from SportsCenter. Did you ever see or meet Chris Berman?
Yes. For about half a year, I worked at ESPN as security.
Really? Do you keep secrets about yourself and unveil them at little strategic moments?
Yeah. No, for about 6 to 8 months, I worked at ESPN as security, overnight security.
Oh, wow.
So it was a third shift job, which was
graveyard, baby. Yeah.
Graveyard is the worst.
I did it for 3 years,
So I would get there around, I would say, midnight.
Yeah.
And the whole ESPN campus would be pretty much empty.
Yeah.
And then me and there was like three other security guards. They would give us these little sticks with magnets on it.
Yeah.
And there were sensors.
D-techs.
There were sensors throughout the whole building.
D-techs. Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah,
and
yeah.
every day, at least three times during the night, we'd have to go
hit
every sensor.
I didn't have it. I didn't. And they fought. They wanted my guys to do it. And me and my fellow bosses, we fought against. We thought it was demeaning for our officers to go around and be like, beep, beep.
Oh, it was,
beep,
it was the
but
worst.
It's for.
It keeps you up and walking.
It does, but it's insurance purposes. Because if something happens, you pull it. And you'd be like, well, Officer Tapia was in hallway one at 2 in the morning, and then at 2:30, the thing broke. Someone broke in, and he came back at 3. Wow. So, yeah, that's what it's for.
So we did it, and I remember, so during the night, I would walk all through ESPN. I would go onto the set.
Like, really? You never told me this? You told Mark Ellis this?
I don't know if I did. Actually, I don't think I have told Mark this.
Oh, my gosh.
I would sit in the SportsCenter desk, just act like I was on SportsCenter. So every morning around 7 a.m., everyone would start coming in.
Right, right.
I would literally, my job sometimes would be to be at the front gate where the cars come in.
Yeah.
And I would lift the gate for the cars to come in.
Your access control, baby.
And here's the best thing. ESPN had the best cafeteria.
Oh,
the employee cafeteria was amazing.
Is it the one from the commercials, right?
Yes.
The Arnold Palmer, making Arnold Palmer's? Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
What I would do is the second my shift was over around 8 a.m., I would go to the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And have my breakfast. And you would see all the SportsCenter guys, like all the people working.
This is fascinating.
And I would make a bagel. And so it was great.
Yeah.
The one time I met Chris Berman, it was a time he injured his leg. Do you remember?
I do remember that. He had like a early broken knee or pulled an ACL or something, right?
I'm trying to think. This is around 2002, 2003.
Totally remember that. Yeah.
So it was around that time. And one day I was stationed right outside the studio, and Berman would use this back exit because he heard he was on crutches.
Right.
And he would come in and we would just chit chat, like, how are you doing? Good. You know, just what you would say to a security guard as you walk to
walk
work.
By.
So that's,
I know it well.
Yeah. So like, that's the only time I'd really get a chance to talk to him. And like, it would just be like, what'd you think of this game?
Yeah.
And watch. I was just excited to be talking to him.
Sure. He's a big guy, right? He was tall, right?
He's a big dude. He has a presence about him.
Yeah.
He enters the room. Everyone's just kind of like, oh.
I tell you what, man, I know that feeling. I haven't met him, but like, I was at El Cholo on Western in L.A., one of my favorite Mexican restaurant places. And one night, Alec Baldwin walked in.
Oh, wow.
And literally, I heard forks drop. And he's kind of, at the time, he was heavier. He's lost some weight and everything. Yeah, and he's tall, too. He's not like 6'5", I don't think, you know. But it's like, he walked in, and there was just this presence to him. It was weird.
Wow.
It was really weird. Berman and Alec Baldwin, the same.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was on crutches. He had hurt himself. But, yeah, I hated the job just because of the third shift. But I loved waking, you know, before leaving, going to that cafeteria. Seeing all the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was big into sports. I've always been big into sports. Yeah. So, like, there was a time where I thought about, once I went to film school, like, going back to Connecticut and maybe working ESPN.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew film was more my speed.
More your speed.
Even though, like, listen, I love movies.
Right.
Sports is like, for the sports I love, like football and basketball mainly.
Yeah.
Those two I love so much. They're right below movies. Really.
More than I understand that.
But yeah, it was great. I can't believe I never told you guys I worked there.
No, you just kind of snuck it in. Just like you lied your way onto the Schmoes No Show. Mm-hmm. You dropped that bomb on the Knapsack Files. That's great there. But the cafeteria at ESPN is top notch.
It's top notch. They have bagels like, literally, I think they're delivered every day from like New York.
Wow.
So like this truck would come in, and to this day, they were still the best bagels I've ever had. Like, I think part of the reason I wanted to get a job there was to go back in that cafeteria.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, some places are like that, man. I had the chance to go meet with a friend of mine over at Nickelodeon. They got their new studios over there in Burbank.
Yep.
Big building, and we walked in, and it was this fully functional, like, kitchen, like a convenience store type of thing, but like made to order sandwiches and everything there. And you have to pay and everything, but it was like a full fledged restaurant. And I was like, this is impressive. And he's like, yeah, we're all gonna lose our jobs because I can't afford to keep this place running. But yeah, this is good. So I know what you mean, man. Wow. Know what you mean. Well, I'm happy that you took this adventure with me. Disappointed on your behalf that the mac and cheese was watery, the ice cream flavorless, and the chicken too fatty for you.
Yep.
I owe you one.
It's all good, man. I mean, I honestly, if I trusted the carnita taco, I would have ate it more.
But
all the evidence leading up to that.
If you do not trust the carnitas, do not take a bite at
it. I'm curious now, like, if I ever go there again, I'm not hitting the buffet. I'm hitting the steak. I would just order a steak to see if the steak's any good.
I'll peel back the curtain a little bit. Now, normally the deal is I pay for my guests to come on this experiment. This time around, you picked up your own check because your girlfriend was with you, and that was unplanned. And I'm also currently unemployed.
I would never make you pay,
so,
especially.
I feel so bad. I want to try again one time, but I'll buy you a steak dinner.
Then. An actual
steak
meat.
Dinner.
All right, I'll give it our shot.
We'll do maybe a follow-up.
Well, yeah, I'll give it our shot. That. I mean, how bad can steak, how do you mess up steak?
I've seen it, not there. I've never really had it there. It's been years, but I've seen it get messed up at other places. But that is Hot Sizzler Nights for this week, and I want to thank JTE for coming on in here. And you do a lot of things, Josh, so please, unlike that mac and cheese, don't be watery. Tell us with good consistency where you're at and what you're doing.
Obviously, Twitter, JTE Movie Thinks, and that is same as my YouTube channel. I just passed 10,000 subscribers.
Yeah!
Thank you guys so much. I'm actually going to do a Blu-ray collection video. I've been telling people once I hit 10,000,
I'll do
a Blu-ray vacation. A lot of people are requesting for that. I just do reviews, man. If you're listening to this, go check out my Infinity War review. I am lucky enough to see some of these movies early, so you will be getting some reviews from me. Pretty early. I mean, I broke some embargoes my day, but I try
You're
not
known
to do
for that.
That,
but yeah.
I try not to do it. Listen, if the studios would invite me to their screenings, I wouldn't break the embargo. I only break them because I'm going to fan screenings. They're for the public.
It's a loophole, but I like it. I respect you.
But Disney, I will not be breaking any embargoes.
No,
because,
they'll kill you.
Yeah, they'll
bury you in the Matterhorn.
They'll take me out. So yeah, really just follow me on Twitter. Follow me on YouTube. Same JTE Movie Thinks. Also, I have a JTE Movie Thinks podcast that I try to do as much as I can. It was a lot of family stuff in the past month.
You've had some stuff.
Yeah, some shit went down. So, like, everything's good now.
Yeah.
But I had to take a little break, but I really want to get back into it. You were, like, one of my last guests. We talked about the
National Lampoon movie. Yeah, Futile and whatever, Jester.
Yeah,
Useless
Futile.
Jester. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah, it was really good. So I'm going to get back on that. I have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/JTE April Dawn, me and my girlfriend.
Right.
She has her own YouTube channel also where she does. She just did a Road to Infinity War.
Yeah.
We reviewed every single Marvel film.
There you go.
Leading up to Infinity War, which was a lot of fun. I'm really excited for Infinity War after watching all these movies. Like, I'm not going to miss anything.
Right.
So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, that's it, man. Just JTE Movie Thinks. I'm across the board branded, baby.
You are. I love it. I love what you do. You're a great entertainer. You are also still having fun over this, the movie trivia Schmodown.
Yeah.
And pressing
still
the,
champ.
Pressing the buttons over there at Screen Junkies so well. You are much, much more than just a TriCaster operator, though.
Yeah.
You are a personality, and I appreciate you coming on in. Guys,
thanks,
you can follow the Knapsack Files podcast on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at Ken Knapsack. I do have a Patreon page as well, patreon.com/TheKnapsackFiles. And this podcast is available in a lot of different spots, including Spotify now. So please check it out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and other places. Don't forget, hey, if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review for all that stuff. Don't forget to go to audibletrial.com/TheKnapsackFiles to get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. If you do, it directly helps out this show. So that is it. That has been our experiment. Is another night, another hot, sizzler night.